I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Payne and Pendergast with you on a Tuesday. Seth, was there anything that happened during the divisional round of the playoffs? Because one of the things we said as Texan fans, we got to keep an eye on, are any of the quarterbacks running for their lives this weekend? Because if they're running for their lives, they might need offensive line help.
Let's see. Tom Brady certainly was. Joe Burrow certainly was.
Joe Burrow is the one. Somehow they won a game where their quarterback got sacked 9 times, and they were not cheapies. Like, Joe, for all the great things about Joe Burrow, Joe Cool, Joe Burrow, the legend of Joe Burrow, he's so awesome, he's this, he's that, he takes some really bad sacks.
Yeah.
Like, he takes some really bad, like, there were a few times he, you know, dude, just live to fight another day, take a 4-yard sack. He does that Keenum thing where he starts running backwards a lot, and he takes, like, 15-yard sacks. Anyways, he's awesome. I would take Joe Burrow on this team in a second. But that's the team I was thinking, yeah, if Brady was running for his life, but he was missing Tristan Wirfs.
They had a few injuries on that offensive line. Yeah. So that was they don't expect that to continue on.
Right. Since he's the obvious one, right?
Yeah.
If we're looking for him, the reason I'm bringing this up is because I think all of us think that if the Texans could get a decent return on Laremy Tunsil, he would be a former Texan fairly hastily.
He's getting a little bit older, but not really by offensive lineman standards. I guess the biggest obstacle might be that he's got only 2 years left on his contract.
Yeah.
And so a team's going to say, all right, well, we're trading for him. But, you know, unlike Bill O'Brien, this new team that's trading for Laremy Tunsil might be a little bit worried about giving a bunch of draft capital and then having to pay him afterwards.
Yeah.
So that's the question is, how much do you let him go for? And it seems like the consensus by us outsiders is that if you got a first-round pick for Laremy Tunsil, then you could probably take that and move forward. As long as if they're thinking that they can move Tytus Howard to left tackle and that that's his natural position and that he can take over. I don't want to trade away Laremy Tunsil just thinking like, well, yeah, and then you use that first-round pick to draft a cheap rookie because that doesn't always work out.
No, I think what they do with the third overall pick might factor into if they like Evan Neal. You know, if Hutchinson and Thibodeau are both gone and Neal's the best guy on the board, then moving Tunsil. Seth, if they can get a first-round pick for Laremy Tunsil, I think I would drive him to the airport for them if they could get a first-round pick for him at this point. Because and that's why I'm using the playoff teams as a template. Look, there's plenty of teams where Laremy Tunsil can be the starting left tackle. There's very few teams out there that are willing to give up a first-round pick to then pay Laremy Tunsil $18 million this year and $19 million next year to be their left tackle. But Cincinnati was the one, as I'm watching that game, and I know they've already got, you know, Jonah Williams is a starting tackle there.
And he was a first-round pick.
He was a first-round pick. But I would imagine one of these guys can bump inside. Look, whatever they were doing wasn't working on Saturday against the Tennessee Titans. I know a lot of it, the push came from up the middle with Simmons. In watching that one, I go, okay, if this is a team that wants to protect Joe Burrow and they want to go up, just sheer upgrade of the talent level in the offensive line and then worry about which 5 guys they get out there, then that's a team I would call if I were Nick Caserio and see if they're interested.
The Bengals, just on a little bit of a side topic, they're a pretty good example there of, okay, hey, I think there was discussion over whether the Bengals should take Penei Sewell and start hemming up that offensive line or draft Ja'Marr Chase. A good wide receiver is as good as a good offensive lineman
in terms of protecting your
quarterback. Yeah. I mean, think about DeAndre Hopkins. Like, he's always open, even when he's covered. So if there's immediate pressure or what have you, you know, there's always an option there. If you get a really fast guy like Michael Thomas that can separate quickly, that's just as good as an offensive lineman. So, like, there's always – I think there's – there's more of a danger in the wide receiver maybe being a complete bust than an offensive lineman. But if he is good, then it makes a big impact.
Well, you made this point either when you and I were talking or texting or whatever, something over the weekend. But I know you made this point, like wide receiver is the new catalyst in the NFL.
Yeah.
Like that's
yeah.
the look at these teams that are still left, like Tyreek Hill. The quarterback is obviously the difference maker in all this. But in terms of the tools that you're giving the quarterback, like what's the gasoline that's making this engine go? Well, in Kansas City, it's go watch what Tyreek Hill did in that game this weekend. Like he takes crossing routes and turns them into 65-yard touchdowns.
Yeah, the Bills, like he's a single-handed argument against playing prevent defense.
Exactly.
Like because you're just, whoa, wow. Okay, you got the ball in space and then there you go.
Cooper Kupp in two plays went and won that game. For, you know, Stafford made the throws, but Cooper Kupp gets open better than anybody in the league right now. Who else is left here? Well, Jamar Chase. You just mentioned.
Yeah.
Jamar Chase.
Chris Godwin not being on the. I mean, Brady.
Yeah.
Like,
he's missing.
Yeah, and Antonio Brown. Yep. I mean, Brady's a completely different quarterback with those two guys.
Debo Samuel.
That's an embarrassment of wealth there. But
Debo Samuel. And, and the guys we're naming all get it done in different ways. But guys like Jamar Chase and Debo Samuel for Cincinnati and for San Francisco, man, it's not just the way they catch the football and the run after catch. They use these guys frequently. I mean, Debo Samuel is literally used as a running back, but they run end-arounds all the time with Jamar Chase. Like, they use these guys like you would use a running back in an offense 12 or 13 years ago.
Well, and it goes to show you again, I mean, Aaron Rodgers made some comments in his post game that didn't make the headlines, but that sounded a lot more like a healthy relationship with the front office, that he's had these conversations with the front office. But just imagine the Packers if they had spent a little bit more draft capital on wide receiver instead of trading up for potential backup replacement quarterbacks and et cetera over time. And they've done well with some of their mid and late round picks at wide receiver, but if Jamar Chase goes a long way.
Well, and Chase, of the guys we
They're not going to get a Jamar Chase, obviously.
No, but you can get those other guys. That's the point I was just going to make is, Jamar Chase went fifth overall. Like, okay, there's a reason he's as good as he is. He comes in with just toolsy as hell. Cooper Kupp was a third round pick. Tyreek Hill had off-the-field issues that probably devalued his draft. But either way, I think he went in the fourth round. Who else were we talking? Oh, Debo Samuel was a second-round pick.
Yeah.
Like, these guys can be had. You know, like, you can find these, you know, similar running backs. You can find wide receivers. Then it's just about the ingenuity and the creativity of the play callers and the architects of the offense to use these guys to their maximum.
Okay, so back to the topic. Sorry, I diverted us there.
Sorry.
On Laremy Tunsil himself and how much of a possible trade option. Did Matt Wesson from the Battle Red blog ask you a question about
this? I tweeted that probably after about the seventh or eighth sack during that game, I tweeted, man, Cincinnati is playing their GM into a Laremy Tunsil trade right now. And Matt Weston's reply was, well, can he bump down to guard? Implying that a lot of this stuff that's happening to the Titans today or to the Bengals today is because they're getting a push up the middle. It's not because they're getting a push up. I think nine sacks, you're getting push everywhere probably. Someone replied to that like, no, Tunsil might not, but Jonah Williams could, and then you put Tunsil on the outside.
Yeah, there's no way in hell Tunsil can play guard. I mean, I think he might stay just sitting if he had to do that.
Right.
That's a lot of physical play down there. He's more of a very good finesse player, but he's a finesse player.
Right.
And those guys don't do well. That's a classic, like, hey, everybody assumes, wow, if you're good at tackle and that's harder than playing guard, then you're going to be awesome at guard. That's like saying that a bodybuilder is going to be awesome at digging ditches or something. Like, there's a whole lot more to it. down into the dirty stuff, you know? Like, it's not a given that you're going to be able to do that. So I think that the Bengals would be an option. I think there are a lot of other teams out there. Look, offensive tackle, a good pass-blocking offensive tackle is always going to be worth something out there. It's just a matter of – I guess the big question for me is if Tunsil basically sat this one out this year because he had a nondescript thumb injury and it didn't seem like it was some kind of strange spiral fracture, one of these things you hear about that – you know, with foot injuries and hands – sometimes they're way more complicated than you think because there's so many bones in it. There's complications. We didn't hear anything about complications.
No.
Nick Caserio didn't say anything about complications. This was supposed to be a 4 to 6 week injury, and he ended up, he was week to week. supposedly he was day-to-day at some point. Cully's talking about how he's got to get his weight room strength back. And just time went on.
What was that?
I don't know. Yeah, he just flat out didn't play football this year.
He's like the first player I've ever heard that's gotten an injury during the season. We're like, we got to get him in the weight room before we can bring him back. Like, what?
For a hand injury.
Yeah.
Like, it'd be one thing if he couldn't do leg exercises. I suppose you could say, yeah, he's got to get his leg strength back.
Right.
But, like, offensive tackle, you could – look, there are guys – look, the good ones – they could go a year without lifting weights, and they're still going to be better than like the 600-pound bench pressing mediocre ones.
Right.
It's your legs, it's your hips, it's your hands. So I think that that means one of two things to me. Either the Texans are planning to trade him, and they figured, well, we don't want to injure him anyway, so let's just let him sit it out.
Yep.
Or that Laremy Tunsil himself kind of just packed it in on the season, in which case I don't think he's the right culture fit if that's the situation. All signs point to Laremy Tunsil probably not going to be here next year.
Right. Let's just to refresh. This is Nick Caserio. He was on with us a week ago today, and we asked him about Laremy Tunsil. The question that we asked him was Laremy Tunsil too injured to play the last 12 weeks of the season?
Yeah, I would say every situation, every player, you know, is in a different circumstances. I think, you know, the injury that he sustained, whatever it was, you know, was a legitimate injury. And as we work through the process, you know, every player has to, you know, work through some things. And in the end, you know, it didn't work out, and Laremy didn't end up playing, you know, for the duration of the season. So, again, we can't worry about what happened last year. We're going to focus on this upcoming season. To your point, Sean, we're going through kind of the evaluation of, you know, our team, where we're at. I think we have, I want to say, 45, 46 players that are currently under contract for next year, including some of the reserve future players, practice squad-ish players that we signed after the season. So, you know, we'll talk about everybody. We'll go through our team. Whenever we do get the head coach in place, you know, we'll probably have to bring them up to speed, about where we are from a personnel standpoint. So, I would say, you know, Laremy would fall into that category just like everybody else.
He's just like everybody else on this roster right now.
You know, he touched on something that's a really important element in all of this,
mm-hmm.
which is that I can remember Wade Phillips telling me once that he's come into situations before where, you know, maybe he knows the outgoing head coach pretty well or doesn't, but they have a conversation about, you know, the roster, things to watch out for, all this stuff. And he said that it's happened quite a few times where the word on a certain player on the team is like, oh, this guy's a bum, man. We just don't like this guy at all. He's a bad apple, all this stuff. And then under the new coach, he ends up thriving. And he ends up being just like everything that they wanted. And it's like that in the NFL. I mean, circumstances really matter. Scheme matters. Personality fit matters.
Yep.
All that stuff matters. So I wonder with Laremy Tunsil if perhaps maybe Caserio knows that same dynamic, you know, that Wade Phillips was talking about. And maybe Caserio is saying, all right, you know what? We're going to see what happens. We'll bring in a new coach and we'll get his evaluation on Laremy Tunsil. We'll have discussions about it. The third option as far as how they handled all of this was basically maybe Laremy Tunsil was injured. He's going to have to miss a few weeks anyway. And maybe the Texans said, you know what? Like, this isn't going to be the kind of year where we're making the playoffs. Why don't you just get your body right, and we'll save you up for next year, and then we'll make a decision on that when a new coach. In their minds, they're thinking when a new coach comes in, they
sure
wouldn't have told Laremy that.
Right. Well, and look, in some ways, isn't this exactly what a lot of Texan fans were kind of asking for? Is letting Laremy Tunsil sit and letting Jerron Christian and Charlie Heck play not just maybe a poor man's version of what everybody was asking them to do at the quarterback position, which is why you play in Tyrod Taylor? Let's see what we got in Davis Mills. I think you could argue the same thing. Like, Laremy's hurt. We're halfway through the season now. Let's see what you got in these other offensive linemen here, and let's make sure that one of your key assets to go get some draft capital stays healthy and doesn't sustain another injury. I'm not angry Laremy Tunsil didn't play the rest of the year. Like, I thought as soon as he went out that there's a good chance he wasn't going to play again, even with the 4 to 6 week window that Cully gave. I just thought it seemed like the practical thing to do on a bad team. It seemed to give a good reason to sit a guy who might be an asset for you in the offseason.
Let me ask you, let's play a little game here.
Oh,
Sean.
Good. Yes.
So of all the offensive linemen for the Texans, if you want to whip open a depth chart or something, if you can think about it, Which one do you think, according to Pro Football Focus, had the highest pass blocking grade?
Ooh, highest pass blocking grade.
Yeah.
Including the interior, not just tackles.
Just amongst tackles, I apologize.
Just amongst tackles. I would say...
We don't want to talk about the interior.
Oh,
my God.
I would say... Is it Charlie Heck?
It was actually Jerron Christian.
Okay.
Who played way more than Pua. He had 588 snaps. So, I mean, that's a look. You're splitting hairs when you start worrying too much about that. But I think, like, when you look at Pro Football Focus, and, like, for whatever it's worth, like, just kind of look at things generally, it matches the eyeball test in terms of, you know what, they did some good things as pass blockers. It was the run blocking that was just abysmal and awful.
How do you get them better, though, Seth? Do they got to get new guys, or do they need an offensive line coach that can get through to them, or do they need an offensive coordinator that can scheme something better up for this style of offensive lineman?
This comes from the top down. This is the offensive coordinator. Because it's not like James Campen is a bad offensive line coach.
Right.
You're always just working with what you have to work with. But I think if there was one thing that was consistent, really, and I would say this, Sean, from the time Bill O'Brien took over, I remember like in 2014, 2015, I was at a charity event, and I had been talking about some of the issues I saw on the offensive line. And a Texans offensive lineman came up to me. And he was like, my wife called me yesterday, and she said, Seth Payne is saying all the exact same things that you've been saying about what's going on with this offensive line, or like with how hard it is to execute exactly what they want to execute. And honestly, I don't think I saw much improvement in those elements when it came to some of the confusion about responsibilities, some of the inability to work side by side, like in coordination as an offensive line, passing off games, picking up blitzes, all that stuff is that there's a lot of confusion, and a lot that comes from either Bill O'Brien, Tim Kelly, George Godsey, whoever it might be, that just, I think simply I make things too complex. And it's not about scaling back the number of plays or whatever it is. There's something that doesn't transfer from the whiteboard to the football field that's been lost in this branch of the Belichick tree.
Mm.
So, yeah, I think an offensive coordinator makes a big difference on that, hopefully, ideally.
713-572-4610. Some good texts. Someone says on the text page, Brady will play one more year. He has to, so he can have his farewell tour. Does Brady strike you as somebody who needs a farewell tour to fet him for 17 weeks around the league?
Let's see. A-Rod had a farewell tour, right? Jeter had a farewell.
Jeter,
no, A-Rod
for sure
did not. Jeter,
no.
Jeter had the farewell tour. Yeah. A-Rod couldn't have. That wouldn't have gone well. Yeah, we
gave, that would have been the ultimate heel move. A-Rod expecting to be lauded at all of the stops along the way on the road.
What did we give Jeter? Did we give Jeter boots? I thought we gave him like a really nice pair.
I don't know.
Of,
it's a good question.
I say
sure.
We, like I paid for him. But I believe that we gave Jeter a nice, or like a really nice pair of cowboy boots, which I'm guessing he didn't appreciate. We should have, you know what we should have done? We should have given him some just good work boots. Just gone down to Tractor Supply or something and got him some good work boots and be like, here, welcome to the real world.
Right.
See how you like it.
And barbecue. We always get barbecue here. That's what we do. Just a big thing of barbecue. I don't know that Brady is a farewell. Is that even a thing in football, like the farewell tour? I feel like it's more of a baseball and basketball thing.
Tiki Barber did it, and it was not received well.
Yeah.
It was looked at very much like a, wow, classic me first move on the ultimate team sport.
Yep.
So I don't know. Yeah, text in 713-572-4610. Remind us of any football farewell tours.
I guess the only ones that, like, did Brett Favre get a farewell tour? Did Peyton
Manning?
Because
he couldn't do it with Favre because
he
never
knew
exactly when he was going to follow through on the drama. It was like 10 years of threatening retirement.
Yep.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend? Or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.